I'm here with Peng with Soda Hot and Cold. Really excited. Thanks for doing this.
Yeah, definitely.
You got a great thing going on.
Thank you.
It's crazy that you've only been open for about a year now, right?
Yeah.
And you're looking at your second location in Minneapolis, which from a business perspective, like, is, you have to be crushing it or killing it to be able to do that. So give us a little story about Soda, how you started, why Frog Town, just everything behind it.
Yeah, so the story behind Soda. So actually, I had been thinking about starting, you know, kind of like a business for a very long time. And I just kind of wanted to, like, you know, I wanted to kind of reevaluate kind of what I wanted to do and what my passions were. And at first, I actually wanted to start like a full-fledged restaurant, you know, kind of like fusion. I know that that's like a really like overused term nowadays, but, you know, just like something along those lines of fusion and stuff like that. But then being a finance kind of like nerd and stuff like that, you know, after crunching the numbers, I just wanted to kind of put it into more realistic perspective. And so I started scaling down and just continuously scaling down. So it's like, okay, if I can't do a full-fledged restaurant, then, you know, what's the next one? What's the next element below that? And then it's kind of like, you know, we can do a fast casual, you know, since that's a big thing nowadays, you know, with the Chipotles and the Subways and the Quiznos and like, and like Jimmy John's, right? The fast casual places, you know, and so that's a big hit nowadays. And I was like, ah, you know, I don't really have an expertise in that either. And then I was like, all right, so what's an item that kind of like is intriguing and then like at the same time is like, you know, everyone loves, right? And I actually came to like ice cream slash desserts. I couldn't do like pastries because I'm not a pastry chef. And, you know, you have to train for years to be a pastry chef, right? You can't just like jump into something like that. And so I actually looked at ice cream. And at that time, like coincidentally, I stumbled across Tyrol ice cream, which kind of like, you know, with the introduction of kind of like how big social media is nowadays, you know, seeing, you know, Tyrol ice cream on social media, you know, it was super intriguing. And I was like, wow, you know, this is actually a really cool concept. And it's ice cream, you know, like everyone loves ice cream,
for
right?
Sure.
Like, and then when I was evaluating it, you know, it's kind of like, you know, there's all these like trendy food, these are like these trends that are happening in the food industry where, like, you know, there's just poke bowls and, you know, pho and ramen and stuff like that. But, you know, those are items that intrigue me, and I wanted to pursue something like that. But then I thought about it, like, in regards to like scalability or like kind of just like my demographic, is that like not everyone eats sushi.
True.
Not everyone eats pho, not everyone eats ramen, and not everyone eats poke bowls and stuff like that. It's a very niche market when you go into something like that. And I wanted to think kind of like larger and like kind of like be more inclusive in regards to, like, you know, if I was going to go into culinary, I wanted to go into something like that. And so ice cream, you know, it's just everyone eats ice cream, right? It's like, it doesn't matter if you're white, black, brown, yellow, purple, green, it doesn't matter what color you are and what culture you come from. You know what I mean? Like, ice cream is just, you know, it's just something that everyone enjoys.
Absolutely.
No matter what, right? And so that's, and then Tyrol ice cream combined with that kind of like idea that everyone likes it, you know, it's just like, I was like, man, I got to do this, right?
For sure, because you have now this unique item, which
it's
not prevalent, it's not existent or wasn't existent in the Twin Cities market, but you have the base of ice cream.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, combine that too, you know, just, I had an idea in my head that it would be intriguing, but I would have never expected the popularity. So I kind of did a test run at the Little Mekong Night Market right out here that they hold annually here in the Frogtown area. And I did a little booth there and, man, it blew up. I was like, I was so shocked about, like, you know, just how, you know, fascinated people were with the idea. I had an idea that people were gonna be interested, but I didn't know that it was gonna be like at that level. So, you know, that kind of reinforced me to really open up this spot. And I chose this spot actually here in the Frogtown area because, you know, I grew up in this area, and I know kind of like the change that's happened in this area and how influential kind of not even just the Asian, but just the minority and immigrant community has been in this area, and how small businesses kind of like have kept this area alive, because you know, in the early 90s this area was just completely run down, you know, and it was like on the verge of just like economic collapse and stuff like that. But then, you know, the immigrant and refugee community came into this area and really like rejuvenated the economy here and really just kept this area alive. And at the same time, the tie to kind of like, you know, the concept of Thai roll ice cream was just so fitting, because this area right here is actually called, you know, if people didn't know, it's actually called the Little Mekong District, you know, and yep. So it's just perfect for the, you know, the theme of the ice cream. Conceptually, it just fit, and I was like, and I made it a goal of mine to open it in the Little Mekong area, and this area, this space actually opened up. So it just kind of seemed like a perfect storm of kind of opportunity.
Yep.
And so I definitely had to jump on it, and that's kind of how, you know, Soda just came to be. It just kind of came out on a whim and just kind of really just like pushed it and made it happen, I guess, you know. And I'm blessed to, you know, see all the support and how successful it's been. So, you know, it's a great thing.
I'm excited that it's here. I was, you know, you touched on social media and how big it was on social media.
Yeah.
And I think that popularity really helped you at the Little Mekong Market, because I'm guessing that people had already seen the concept of it out there, but they haven't had a chance to experience it. And all of a sudden, here you are at this Little Mekong Market.
Exactly.
So that's great.
Yeah.
Secondly, like I really like the fact that you touched on, so you came in, you wanted to open this big restaurant.
Yeah.
Right? And that you were able to have perspective, and you were able to have, like, really wrap your head around the fact of patience.
Yeah.
And knowing that you couldn't open this grand thing, because to open this grand thing is going to be hundreds of thousands of dollars to
Agreed.
Do it.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you don't have the budget to do it, if you don't have all of that in place, you got to start small. And some people don't understand the fact that, like, look, it's perfectly fine to start out small. Like, you have to start somewhere, and, and starting at the top, it is not always doable.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And then, like, you know, that's kind of like just how I approach life in general, not just business, but, you know, it's gotta, you kind of have to be kind of realistic about what you want to accomplish. You know what I mean? If, like, your ultimate goal in life is to own a business, then keep that as the ultimate goal, but then you have to kind of be realistic about, okay, now how am I going to frame that to make it an accomplishable goal and keep it realistic? Because I know how people are. I mean, people in general, you know, when they think of something and what they want to do, you know, you're shooting for the stars, right?
For sure.
You want to go big, right? Whether that be, you know, professionally or, you know, personally, whatever it may be, you know, when you want to do something, you know, in your mind, in the way that you envision it, you want it to be, you know, this grand, you know, awesome big thing. But then it takes a real kind of disciplined person, and it takes a self-aware person to be able to step back and be like, okay, is this realistic or not?
And that's really important. I don't think a lot of people have that self-awareness, because you look on social media these days, you look on, you know, you have these personalities, these people, business owners that are shooting out pictures of, you know, Rolls Royce and bling bling and all this, like, high ticketed stuff. What they're not pushing out there. And what I liked about your Instagram account, your social account, is, like, you put out stuff of how you were, like, putting up tile in here and how you're like the build out of this place. And it's not glamorous.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But that's real.
Uh-huh.
Like, that's where you have to start. And I mean, I remember my wife and I, we opened a kids' clothing store right at the, like, we had no clue.
Yeah.
But it was, like, 6 months before the recession hit.
Sure.
And who the hell is going to want to buy kids' clothes, you know, like, right in the middle of a recession?
Yeah,
so it sucked. But I remember the days of painting the space, putting up shelves, like, like, being at this space until 2 or 3 in the morning.
Yeah.
Like, laying out wood floors.
Yeah.
Like, man, doing all that stuff.
Yeah, it's a grind.
I don't know how many times, like, I went back to Menards or Home Depot, like, in one day.
Yeah,
because I didn't get the right drill bit, or I didn't get the right, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear you, man. It's like, the whole process, I think that like with social media right now, you know, the instant gratification and the instant satisfaction and stuff like that, it really sends kind of like a wrong, like a really mixed message to like a lot of people that like want to be successful.
Yeah.
And a lot of the promotion and a lot of the kind of like the propaganda that happens on social media, it's kind of like focusing on the end result and stuff like that, and then you kind of miss the story. But I think that the story for any business or for anyone in general, I think that that's the most intriguing part, because then you know, you learn so much about kind of like the process. And so I think the process is just as important as the, you know, the end result.
For sure.
And so,
you know, I read an article in the paper just the other day. There's a restaurant over on the east side that, in my opinion, was perceived to be doing well.
Yeah.
Okay, so the article is, this restaurant is closing.
Yeah.
Okay, and there was a quote in there from the owner. It said, "We could not sustain losing money for like 3 years in a row."
Yeah.
And that says a lot to me, and I think that should say a lot to everybody that wants to start a business or get in the restaurant industry.
Yeah.
Is that like, it's not easy, and like, you think something's doing well as a consumer.
Yeah.
You think something's doing well is the cornerstone of a community, and then you hear the story of they've lost money for the last 2 to 3 years and they just couldn't do it anymore.
Uh-huh.
Right? And so there's this perception versus reality of things.
Yeah.
And you talk about that end result in on social media. All you
Definitely.
See is the end result, but you don't see the grit and the grind and the struggle takes to run things.
Definitely. And I think that that's why, like, you know, since opening this business, I've had a lot of kind of like colleagues and friends and stuff like that. You know, they say, you know, I'm interested in starting a business now too. So, you know, let me know, you know, what steps you needed to take, what resources you use. And I was like, you know, all that stuff is great and I can help you with that. But, you know, come and spend a day with me, you know, a week with me, actually, you know, every hour of the day, so that you actually kind of see what it takes to really run this business.
Yeah.
And after that week, if you're like, all right, I'm good, I can put in that work and put in that time, then I'll consider, you know, helping you out, you know, to open your business. Because like in any business, man, it's like they think that, you know, it's just, you know, easy, but man, it's like it takes so much work. It's just so many hours and just so much time and dedication and so much sacrifice that you have to make. And
sacrifice,
and people don't really understand that. And again, you know, I've emphasized this before, is like, with what you said earlier about, you know, on social media, you know, everyone's, you know, saying that, you know, this is my Lamborghini or this is my Rolls Royce, you know, this, I made $10,000 doing this. And, you know, they're focused on so much of like the money aspect of things, but it's kind of like, you know, like success again. I always talk about like money and success, right? And just about how, like, you know, if you're chasing like money, then it can cloud kind of like your vision and your and what you want to do ultimately. Because like, to like, when you're chasing money, right, like if you set a goal saying that, okay, you know, by the time I'm 30, I want to make $1 million, right, and you make $1 million, someone out there can still say that you didn't make it.
You know,
someone can look at that $1 million and be like, that's nothing.
Yeah,
you need to make $10 million.
Yeah.
And then so you feel like you failed, right? But if you say that, you know, you know, if you feel like personally, instead of attaching like the dollar figure to that, and you just say that, you know, if I could reach $1 million while I'm 30, then I consider that a success. No one can really take that away from you, because no one can really say that, you know, you're unsuccessful, because you say that, you know, no, that's a success for me. Like that's an accomplishment that I made for myself, and no one can take that away from you. But someone can always criticize the dollar amount, but they can't really criticize the success that you put on yourself.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah. So like, you know, a lot of people are like, you know, why would you want to open a business and make $40,000 a year, right? And it's like, well, if I own my own business and I'm making $40,000 a year, I think that that's better than being a teacher.
For sure.
For making $40,000 a year.
Yeah.
Right? So it's really your perspective of success. And, you know, I think that that goes a long way versus, you know, just tying it to $40,000.
Exactly.
Because if you look at $40,000, then you can get discouraged, because like, man, I own a business and I'm making as much as a teacher.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like, you got to put it into perspective, is that like, I own my own business, I do my own thing, I'm making the salary of a teacher, I think that that's successful. I'd rather do that than be a teacher or go work at Wells Fargo, sitting in a cube or something like that, right?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, you know, really putting the attachment to success to just purely just kind of like what your goals are and not like a dollar amount.
It's funny that you use the analogy of a teacher, because like I want to flip that, because I think the message is so important when you talk about what success is and you don't put a dollar amount on it. Like, if you're passionate about being a teacher and that's success, like you you want to help kids,
that's successful. That's successful.
They're not in it for the money. They're in it to help the kids out, and that's success.
That is success. Yeah, that is the epitome of what success is. Like, if you're accomplishing what you're passionate about and what you want to do in life, then you don't associate it to the dollar amount. Like, I always tell other people, it's kind of like, you know, when you're passionate about something, you'll do that for free.
That's the truth.
You know, you'll do it for free because that's just something that you're passionate about, right?
Yeah.
And so I think that that's key. And I think that's the message that I want to send to Soda, like for Soda as well. It's kind of like, you know, we just want to create an atmosphere where people can come here and just be like accepted and just, you know, judgment-free zone, and like everyone's welcome here. It doesn't matter what color, what income you make or anything like that. Like, we want to create an environment where everyone comes in here and everyone feels welcome. Because, you know, that's just the community that we live in nowadays here in the Twin Cities. It's just so diverse.
It is.
And it's just so, you know, and it's only growing in diversity too, you know. And so I think that, you know, when we have places like this that kind of like embrace the diversity and embrace the culture of the Twin Cities, I think that that, you know, continues to, I think that that really helps drive that narrative moving forward, that, you know, everything's okay and that diversity is great and we use each other every day to, you know, prosper versus, you know, like, it's like, so that there's more like that we celebrate it more versus that we're like neglecting it, you
for
know
sure
what I mean?
And it just creates a rich culture,
definitely.
A rich environment, a richer person
when you can
you know, engage with all those different communities.
Definitely. I mean, just from the short period that we've been here, you know, and just engaging with the customers, like, I feel personally, just on a personal level, not even a professional level, but personally, I think that I've grown leaps and bounds on kind of just, like, understanding just people and, like, perception a little bit more and just being more accepting of, you know, everyone that comes in through the doors and stuff like that, and, like, being, like, just more open-minded to everyone.
Absolutely.
And just understanding everyone's expectations.
Because people are people. Right?
And
that's the, at the end of the day, people are people.
Definitely. And then, so Soda, you know, that's just kind of what we accomplish, what we want to accomplish with our customers. And then at the same time, for my employees, you know, I definitely want to create an environment that, you know, is definitely conducive to, like, growth, both, like, personally and professionally.
Okay.
So, you know, I want to make sure that every employee that comes here to Soda that works for me, you know, that they have the opportunity to grow in whatever skill set they want to grow in, whether that be, you know, communication, customer service, leadership, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I make it a goal of mine to really emphasize, you know, especially for the younger youth that do work at, because obviously the demographic that I attract is like kind of like the younger youth, people in this St. Paul community. And so I really want to give them an opportunity to really grow and really empower them to make, you know, decisions and really understand kind of business and the work that goes on behind it. So I'm really hands off, and I really just allow them to run the business as if it was their own. And so I just want
that's
to make,
interesting. That's yeah. a really that's a really interesting point, because I see so many small businesses, medium-sized business across the board, where it's really micromanaged from the top.
Yeah.
And I see a lot of failures with that, because I see a lot of disgruntled employees.
Yeah.
And when you talk about business, truly, yes, there's a lot of sacrifice. There's a lot of work that goes into being the business owner.
Yeah.
But the business is run by the employees. If the employees aren't happy, if the employees don't believe in the business, it affects the product in the end, I think.
Yeah, definitely, man. Like, I totally agree with that, too, because it's kind of like, and I say this right on the front end to my employees, too, is that, like, you know, people are coming to Soda because of the experience.
Yeah.
And the experience involves, you know, the customer service, the ice cream itself, the process, right? But it's really the customer service that, like, separates any other business from any other business. Because, like, literally, if people want ice cream, there's, you know, a bunch of ice cream shops around here, right? I mean, there's some shops down the street. There's, you know, a lot of local shops here too. You know, there's always the Dairy Queens, the Cold Stones and stuff like that. But the reason why people are coming here to Soda is, one, the experience is so unique and so different. But at the same time, if they're receiving great customer service,
yeah,
you know, like, that's kind of what will bring people back. And that's kind of what creates customer loyalty and,
for sure,
and repeat customers and stuff like that. It's not the ice. The product is the product. If you, yeah, have an outstanding product, I mean, that's great too. But if you have outstanding customer service on top of that, then that's kind of what creates, you know, true success, especially in the, you know, restaurant industry.
I agree. There's this place, yeah, on the east side when I was growing up, established like restaurant, just this little hole in the wall, and it was called Sirlin's. But their big thing was every customer that came in, mm-hmm, they got a little something extra. So yeah, they got like a free glass of orange juice, or they got a free,
yeah,
piece of ham.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you know, it's not the tangible free item that you're getting.
Yeah.
It's the fact that this establishment, uh-huh, is willing to go the extra mile,
yeah,
for their customer.
Yeah, I think so too.
And I think that's really important. And, uh-huh, I think that speaks to your point about customer service.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that at the end of the day, the customer is the most important thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely.
And that's what is at your core belief.
Uh-huh.
And then when that's your core, and that's what you, you know, are pushing out there.
Yeah.
That goes a long way with people.
Yeah, it definitely does, man. Because like, not only that, like, not only is it just like purely just for the business standpoint, but I think that just for like the youth to be able to help people. And I think that that, like, something as little as like that, you know, like providing them customer service here at Soda can go a long way, like even in their personal life, of being a helpful person.
Sure.
And being, you know, being engaged and wanting to help people out. Because I find that like the people that are the most engaged here at Soda in regards to like helping the customer, outside of work, they're also like, you know, the most engaged in clubs and outside activities, volunteering, sure, and helping. Because, you know, it kind of like, when you can connect your personal and professional life together, then it kind of creates kind of your personality. It, yeah, molds your personality. So if you're helping people and you like to help people here at Soda, then you know, you take that skill and you can apply it elsewhere.
For sure.
And I think that that's the ultimate goal here. At Soda is definitely for the employees to be able to do that, is take what you learn here and apply it and grow into the future. I don't expect anyone here at Soda to become like a career Soda,
yeah,
lifer here at Soda, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, I definitely want them to move on to bigger and better things, you know, and so I just try to help contribute to their growth at a personal and a professional level.
That's really good of you. Sure. You know, what's interesting is that I remember graduating from high school and I had a buddy. He had worked at McDonald's literally from his freshman year through his senior year. And,
yep,
so we graduated together. And, you know, when you're graduating high school, even nowadays, like, people are expected to go to four-year college. Like, what are you doing? Going to four-year college, da-da-da-da-da-da. This kid was enrolling in the McDonald's school.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he had been there for 4 years.
Yeah.
And what was really interesting to me, you know, looking back at that, it's like, really?
Yeah.
McDonald's? What?
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
What,
yeah,
is that?
Yeah,
but
exactly.
He, like, got into a position where he went into this management training,
uh-huh,
through McDonald's.
Yep.
Which led him to, like, learning about opening his own franchise.
Sure. Yeah.
And then he got his own franchise, like, down the road.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Yeah, yeah,
I mean, that's,
yeah,
owning your own business.
Yeah, and like, you know, I always emphasize that too, you know, like, I'm just always talking about like impact, you know, like you and I talk pretty often, and I, you know, I bring this up to you, you know, about like impact, right? Like a lot of people are like really focused on this word impact now, like when they go and join an organization out of college. And I find this really prevalent in like younger college students right now, is because they're surrounded by like people who are making such big impacts in the world, you know, like the Mark Zuckerbergs and Steve Jobs, and you know, all these people that are making these huge social and you know, political impact and influencing society in ways that we could never have imagined, you know.
Yeah.
And so when they graduate from college and they go, you know, they go get an entry level job at, let's say, you know, like a Fortune 500 company like Ecolab or Best Buy or Target or something like that, and they work there for 6 months and they're stuck behind a computer and they feel like they're not making an impact,
right?
You know, they get discouraged and then they leave. And then it's like that, it's exactly what you're talking about, like the process, right? It's kind of like, you know, like, you have to be able to see kind of like the ultimate goal, because like impact is like the tip of the mountain, like the peak of the mountain, right? Yeah. And when you're starting down here and you're expecting to just like, you know, there are no shortcuts, right? You have to grind and like you'll eventually reach the impact, but it's a process. It's like what your friend, you know, like it was a process. Like he stuck to it. Like he stuck to the process and he stuck to his path.
Yeah.
And then he made the impact by opening his franchise. Like that's the impact that he's made, you know? And so people don't see that and they're like, oh, what, McDonald's University? What are you going to do with that?
Exactly.
You know, like, you know, people are like, why would you do that, right?
Yeah.
But then I think that nowadays, like, that narrative has to change. And, like, I think that that's what is really, like, holding, you know, a lot of people back is just that narrative that, like, you know, like, you have to follow this path to be successful. When really it's, like, you know, success, you know, there's so many different forms and so many ways that yeah. people can, you know, view success. And so it's, like, you don't, there's the traditional path where, like, you know, you go to school, four-year degree, get a job, work for 40 years, retire at 65.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like yep. that's traditional, right?
Yep.
And people are focused on that because that's the tradition. When tradition is like so ingrained, then people are like, if you don't follow that path, you're considered a failure.
Right.
Right? But it's like, no, that's not right, because, you know, there are other avenues to, you know, accomplish a goal that you want to set.
Yeah. I think it goes back to what we were talking about before with the whole perception about what success is. I think everyone should, you know, come out of high school, like with what their own perception of success is. And for that guy that went through McDonald's University and now has his franchise, he saw his path
exactly.
to his own success.
Yeah, yeah.
Teachers, they want to help kids. Mm-hmm. There's a path to their success
yeah.
and the success yeah. should be about what you're passionate about, what you live for, what you would, you know, work for free for.
Yeah.
And that needs to be the narrative, I think, is okay, let's talk about what is success to you.
Yeah.
And if it's making, you know, $1 million, then okay, what do we formulate around that?
Yeah,
well, I mean,
yeah.
what do you really love to do, and is it going to be really attainable? Or is it going the traditional route? There's, you know, there's nothing wrong with going the traditional route where
no,
you go to 4 years.
Yeah.
Because maybe what success is to you is like to have a steady job and a uh-huh. family and a couple of kids and have the freedom or the leisure time to go to your kids' games and to, you
yeah,
know,
yeah,
and,
yeah, yeah.
and maybe that's success. And you know what? I am all for it. You know, if that's
yeah,
what
yeah,
you
yeah.
want, 100%,
totally
man, respect.
Agree. Yeah, yeah. You know, like that's what I always say to people too. You know, it's kind of like, you know, I don't care, and I don't care what you do and how you do it, you know, as long as you feel like that you're pursuing that and you're doing what you love to do and that you're doing what you're passionate about and you're accomplishing your goals. Because who am I to sit here and say that's not right?
Yeah.
Or who am I to say that you're not doing it, you know, the right way, right?
Yeah.
I think everyone has, I'll be there to help you and give you like advice and perspective, but I'm not the type that's gonna tell you you're doing it wrong, you know, because everyone's unique and everyone has their own skill set and everyone has their own, you know, idea of what success is. And so, like for me personally, like I love helping people, and that's kind of what my passion is helping people.
Sure.
And you know, and but then my skill set, you know, is business and finance, you know, and numbers and stuff like that. And so, like, Soda provides me a platform to leverage my business skills, my finance skills, to help people.
Yeah.
And so I think that that's what needs to really be the focal point, is that, like, what is your skill set? If your skill set is, let's say, fixing cars.
Sure.
Right, but your path and you know, that's your skill set and you're passionate about helping people, then, you know, like, and ultimately you want to open up a shop, then really just use that as your driving focus. Or if your skill set is, you know, if you're driven by money, if money is your motivation, you know what I mean, then you have to leverage your skill set to do that. Because
yeah.
you can make $1 million painting, you can make $1 million writing books.
Yeah.
It's just really about what you're passionate about, you know what I mean? And so there's always a way to reach your goal, it's just a matter of like your drive, your dedication, your focus,
yeah,
and like how passionate you really are
and how much work you want to
put in. Yeah, that's the truth, man. It's like, I think that that's the big truth right now, is because like I think a lot of people aren't, like, they're passionate but they're not willing to put in the work. But it's kind of like, man, you're like, everything's gonna require hard work if you want to be the best at something. If you want to be you know, successful at something, it's gonna take a lot of hard work.
And here's the funny thing: stop blaming other people. It is so easy to point the finger here. Well, you know what, they didn't give me that loan.
They're racist.
Shut the hell up. It's like, at the end of the day, it's up to you. Like, you can't blame other people for your lack of success.
No, like I always say too, it's kind of like, you know, I mean, I understand that there are you know, social and economical and maybe even some like racial inequities that are happening, because it is. I mean, there definitely is. There definitely is in society. I mean, I'm not gonna sit here and say that there isn't. Okay, there's definitely some sort of, you know, racial and economic disadvantages that people have, and it doesn't. It's not even just for minorities. I think Caucasians run into that issue as well. And what, you know, white people have the same issues. Black people, Asian, Hispanic, whatever it may be, they run into some sort of social or economic hurdle that may prevent them from doing something that they want to do. But at the same time, I'm gonna say that there are just so many resources out there now that are willing to help.
Absolutely.
And I think that that's where we start, is like connecting these people with these resources, because I think it's a lack, it's ignorance, right? Like, a lot of people, when they blame other people, it's really just ignorance because of the lack of, you know, resources or knowledge that they may be exposed to, and they're just kind of falling into the Pitchfork Nation kind of like mentality, where it's kind of like, well, these, you know, people that I know feel this way, so I'm just gonna feel that way.
And
then they don't do the research, and they don't like create their own opinion, and then they just kind of like assimilate into kind of like what their group is kind of saying. Right?
Yeah.
But I think that I really agree with what you say, is that kind of like, again, changing the narrative, is if you continue to play the victim, you'll always be treated like the victim.
100%.
You know? And so if you continue to play that victim card, or saying, you know, that I'm a victim of, you know, the system or of society, then society is going to continue to treat you like a victim.
Yeah.
And they're going to continue to view you as a victim until you can say, I'm no longer a victim.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a pioneer. I'm a, you know, I'm something else. I'm not the victim anymore.
Yeah.
Right. So that society can say, oh, wow, you know, like, you know, they aren't victims of, you know, society, like these prejudice or these economic disadvantages anymore. And so it's like, really just like changing that narrative. It's kind of like, you get like, stop playing the victim.
Yeah.
Just stop, because that doesn't really, it doesn't push the needle in any way.
And it's not going to get you any further.
No, it isn't. It doesn't, and it doesn't change the narrative at all. It keeps the narrative the same.
Yeah.
And so over time, if you keep the narrative the same, and that's what creates culture, right? Is that when something becomes, when something has been the same for so long, it just becomes kind of like accepted, and it becomes part of the culture.
Absolutely.
And so this victim culture just needs to stop, because we're really actually hurting ourselves more than we're helping ourselves.
And I think when we talk about society, as a whole, like, values hard work. So no matter where you come from, if they see that you've worked really hard and are, like, you know, pushing forward and are creating your own success, society will, like, embrace that and will help you. But if you're playing that victim card, if you're blaming other people,
like, then it's kind of like, people are just gonna kind of, they're gonna, then that's when you become ignored.
It is.
You know, when you play the victim for so long, then you become ignored.
It is.
And that's the last thing that you want to do, is become ignored.
Yeah.
Because then the moment you become ignored, then all the doors close, and then you're just kind of by yourself. And I think that when you find yourself in that area, then it's just like really hard to get out of that.
Yeah.
And then you just kind of get trapped.
Definitely.
Right? And so, I mean, I think that, like, my number one thing is just like, you know, we live in a country where like opportunity is in its abundance, you know what I mean? And I think that we have to really get out of our comfort zone and really kind of get out of our bubble to like really like harness that opportunity.
I agree. Sure.
And there's so many different platforms now to become successful.
There really are.
You know, and so it's really just like, you know, finding those platforms and really, again, like I'm really open to like helping people too. So it's kind of like I have a ton of people that come to me about business, you know, about their business ideas, and they're looking for help, and I'm always willing to help, you know. And I think that that's a key thing too, is like really leveraging kind of like the resources that you have to kind of pursue your dreams and your goals and stuff like that, no matter how small.
Good for you. I mean, I think that's really amazing, because your willingness to help others and give them advice is really big and very commendable. My advice to them is listen.
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely.
Listen to you. And especially for the younger ones, like learn to listen, because you have a wealth of knowledge and a wealth of experience. The experience you've gone through over the last year, you've learned a lot.
Oh yeah, yeah,
right.
For
and
sure.
You can take that knowledge and pass it on. But for the ones that want it, listen.
Yeah, yeah, I totally agree, man. Like even myself, you know, like I wouldn't even say, you know, I still have like a ton to learn.
Absolutely, we
and
all
so,
do.
Yeah, we all continue to learn, and so it's like, you know, again, it's like the non-traditional way of learning. Like you don't have to learn stuff by reading a book. You know, like you can, you know, just from having conversations, you can like grow so much and learn so much. And so, you know, I'm always like saying, you always got to have conversations. You always have to talk to people. Because you never know, you know, they may be able to give you some insight that you've never thought of, some perspective that you've never been able to have.
For sure.
And so it's really important that, you know, just talking with one another, having communication, and having that open dialogue about anything is huge nowadays.
Definitely.
For
definitely.
Sure.
All right, so we'll wrap up. Tell me about Soda in terms of, like, what you envision over the next year, 2 years. Where is it going? What new exciting things are on the horizon? Do you have any new products you're coming out with?
Yeah, so I mean, so Soda, for the next like, couple of years, I mean, as you've talked about, we're opening up a second location over in Uptown Minneapolis. So definitely stay tuned for that. We're going to be making some announcement videos soon about, you know, when we're opening that. We're wrapping up everything, so it should be soon here. And then after that, you know, I told myself that I'd only open three, like personally, like three sodas in the Twin Cities.
Okay.
And so after I open up Uptown, then I'll start kind of planning my third expansion. When that will be, I don't know.
Sure.
But I'll start planning that, and then, you know, finding location and finding where I'm going to do that. And then after I open up the third one, Then I don't know what I'm going to do after that, to be honest. I mean,
you're going to be busy, I'll tell you that.
I'm going to be real busy. So I don't know what I'm going to do after that. I mean, again, you know, with this kind of business, and I it's like a blessing because of how the success and just the support that I've been receiving. You know, it's really the sky's the limit with kind of like what I want to do. And with something like this, you know, it's the sky's the limit. I can do whatever I want with it, and it'll be great. And I think that it'll be successful. New products and stuff like that. So we're starting to kind of really focus on the Soda brand, and you know, starting to like release some merchandise and stuff like that, a little bit more like that. And then what I also want to do is kind of with Soda, kind of create a conglomerate of, like, you know, local small businesses.
Okay.
And diverse businesses too, not just kind of like the restaurant, but like, know, I've done some vlogs already with other small businesses, people that, you know, write children's books. I have people that do like marketing and media and apparel. And then I also have some guys that are doing, t-shirt printing,
really?
Restaurant owners, you know, construction, you know, all these kind of things. So I want to really create kind of like a network with Soda as kind of like the focal point of this, so that, you know, people that, you know, want to get into business or are interested in business, they automatically have that network already.
Sure, sure. That's big, man.
You know, and so that's kind of like long-term goal, is to be able to just create kind of like a really like strong network of small business owners here in Minnesota. And really be able to, like, you know, connect people with the various resources that they may need.
Yep.
Because not everyone's going to come into the ice cream business.
For sure.
You know, not everyone's going to, you know, so I just want to be able to build that up. And so you'll be starting to see more of those vlogs and,
good,
you know, meeting those people.
That's awesome.
And then on our website, we'll probably create a section that will, you know, provide links with, you know, contact information for those people.
That's
if you guys
amazing.
Have any questions. Yeah, definitely. So that's one vision and goal, big goal of mine, is to be able to create that network. For
sure. Well, I think at the end of the day, it goes to the heart of who you are in terms of giving back. I mean, you talk about that being your passion, mm-hmm. like you want to help people. And so that's another way you can do it, and like more reason to support you as a business. Like support you as an ice cream guy.
Yeah.
Right. It's just the fact that you care and you love to give back. So, I mean, that's huge.
Definitely.
That means a lot. It does.
Yep.
It does.
Yeah. Thanks, man. I appreciate it. And I hope everyone shares that same perspective too, because, you know, it's like business is business, and like, you know, you get into business because, you know, you want to make money and stuff like that, and you want to turn a profit so that you can sustain it moving forward, so that you can continue doing what you want to do.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, this is what I'm passionate about, and so I really, you know, money isn't the driving factor behind this, of course.
100%. 100%.
Success, right?
Absolutely. All right, man. All right.
Hey, thanks
a lot.
Guys.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, for sure, man. Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
All right. Looks like that storm's coming.
Yeah. It's supposed to be bad today, right?
Yeah, it's supposed to be raining pretty bad today.
Where's that barbecue? Is it outside?
It's at Blong's house. So.
Oh, he's out in Woodbury now?
Yeah, he's out in Woodbury now.